SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know who you are, young lady, but you certainly know how to handle yourself well.
Batgirl.
Biff Bam Pow.
This is Batman Land.
Our purpose here is quite serious.
Each week we chat about the 1966 Batman TV show.
We might as well get a few laughs out of it.
Discussing the episodes airing this week on SBS Viceland. My name is Dan Barrett. I work on an SBS website called The Guide. Joining me this week is a man who doesn't know his Spurs from his Stetson. It's Nick Bassing.
That is a falsehood. I know what Spurs and Stetsons are.
Well, that's not what your biography says.
That's true.
But howdy, partners. We have a third voice in the studio today. We have joining us SBS channel manager and returning guest of the Batman Land. It's Ben Nguyen.
Yeehaw. Thanks for having me back.
That's never seemed less authentic.
Oh.
I bought it. I thought it was authentic.
It's as authentic as the episode we were about to discuss.
Now, Ben Nguyen, which episodes have you talked about here on the Batman Land?
The most recent one that we talked about was a Mr. Freeze episode.
Because you, of course, busted out the...
A bit of Arnie.
Yeah.
A bit of...
The ice to see you.
Take you to the cooler. That's what it's all about. You know, because the first time I came on, I really pulled out all the stops. I came dressed in my Batman pajamas.
Mm.
So I thought in honor of, you know, this show coming to its natural end, that I would come today dressed in full Batman costume.
Hello.
No, I haven't done that.
That's
lying.
Disappointing because last time when you came in your full pajamas, I wasn't on that episode.
That's true.
It's the only Batman Land without me. So I haven't had the pleasure of dress up Ben.
Oh, but I should have done it in honor of you.
You should have, but you've got a bag there and I'm curious to know what's going to happen here.
I have brought in a few props just to show off a few pieces of memorabilia. So I was cleaning out my parents' place and found some of this stuff that I used to have as a teenager.
Were you kicking them out of their home?
it was the old...
Way to dodge the question, Nguyen.
It was the going back to the parents' place and them kind of going, what's all this old junk? We don't want to look after it for you anymore.
Priceless Star Wars figures? Do you have any of those?
I haven't uncovered any of those yet.
Did you find a copy of Action Comics issue 1?
Well, I'll pull these out in, I think, as chronologically as I can. So this is just a random selection of what I found that would have decorated my old bedroom. So this is an original 1992 Ooh. Danny DeVito as the Penguin Happy Meal toy.
Very yep. cool.
So. Now, it doesn't have the pen in it, but I had one of those as a youngster as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I had the whole set. Had a Catwoman as well.
Had a Batman. It's heavy.
Yes, there's
not
some heft to it.
Not insubstantial.
Let's jump to 1995.
It looks a little bit like Dick Cheney.
And I've got here Batman Forever poster.
Wow.
With all our favorite
Look
cast
Look at Chris
there.
O'Donnell.
He looks so angry.
it's a thing of beauty there, that one. Also 1995, this is the original toy Batmobile for Batman Forever.
Now, obviously, you've got the toy. Is that your favourite incarnation of the Batmobile? And this is the Batman Forever Batmobile you've got here in your hands?
No, it's definitely not. This is, and I can't even say that I bought all of this stuff. I think some of it... Along the way, my mum realised that I had this thing for Batman, and so random secondhand, like garage sale finds, she would get and bring me, including this 1995 bike rear view mirror with Batman
wow.
in the kind of Superman pose, which is that's a bit unusual.
And that looks like memorabilia from the Batman animated series.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
This Batmobile is everything that's wrong with Batman Forever.
Can I have a look at
it's
that thing?
It's an utterly pointless upgrade It doesn't look better than the previous one.
No, in no way does it.
No, the Burton one is much better.
And it doesn't even look that different.
It's very close.
Although, because
it's got glow inside stuff.
And it's long. It's impractically long.
I should say that, like, looking at this here, it's actually missing the big tail thing that comes off the back of it here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It needs some batteries as well to light up to give it that inner glow. So let's jump ahead to 1997, and this is the Batman and Robin Golden Book.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, you can remind yourself of the storyline, adventures with your children.
I'm thinking 1997, when that little Golden Book came out, you would have been a man of maybe like 18, 19 years old?
No, I was younger than that. Year 11, I think. No, year 12. Year 12 I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so at least 17.
Yeah.
It's a little Golden Book is all I'm saying.
Well, this is to finish, okay? So,
oh, hello.
So this frame did once contain a family photo. And what I did was rip out the family photo.
You found something more meaningful.
And replace it with the Batman origin story told in comic book form. So
that is fantastic.
I've just welcomed you both into my bedroom of 20 years ago.
This would be the Detective Comics, the whichever original one?
No, so I don't think that's not like the original Batman story. That looks like it's a retelling.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got no idea even where I found it or.
Yeah, so I mean, this looks like it's some Bill Finger art. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when it's from. It's obviously like a newer thing that's been recolored at some point.
Because some of these, the poster definitely comes from, in 1995, I was in grade 10 and my brother and I decided to enter into a colouring in competition at our local comic book store.
Yeah.
So he was the grade under me. So I would have been about 15. He was about 14.
Which comic store would this have been?
It was Impact Comics in Canberra.
Oh, fantastic. And which is still around these days.
Yeah, in some form. Yeah.
I actually went in there a few months ago. It's a vibrant and cool store.
Ah, well, that's good. Probably helped along by the wonderful colouring in that my brother and I did. And, you know, we were very impressed. We thought we had a good chance of winning a Batman Forever prize pack.
Yeah.
But what we thought would help our chances is if we entered in our colouring under our younger brother's name, and he was in grade 6 at the time, so in primary school. So we did end up winning. We entered one under my youngest brother's name and another one under his friend's name. Mm. And then they had to go in as young children and collect the prizes under and pretend to have actually done the colouring in.
Further perpetuating the lie.
Yeah. I think they got their photos taken with the store manager and everything.
I'm shocked. Batman would not behave in such a manner.
That that Golden Book you have there credits Akiva Goldsman, who wrote a couple of these.
Mm.
Well, the bad ones.
Yes.
Well, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Let's not cast labels like bad onto these terrible movies.
When I
he still works a lot, that guy, somehow.
He just finished up as one of the producers on Star Trek Discovery.
Mm.
He's one of cinema history's greatest monsters.
There's some nasty stuff under his name.
Yeah. So there's stuff like Fringe, which had a kind of a cult following, that show, right? Then, I don't know, do people like I Am Legend?
They shouldn't.
No. The Dark Tower, that was not good. Transformers The Last Night, you loved that one, Dan. You said it was a resurgence of the series, of the franchise.
I'd say resurgence of cinema as an art form.
I remember when I took this stuff more seriously, I cursed his name after those Batman movies.
My brothers and I were the same way.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a lovely person and I wish him the best.
Yeah, he probably could tell great stories about how his ideas were corrupted over.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe
with many studio meddlers.
That's a good idea.
Mm.
I'm just going to drop a few screenplay credits he's got here. A Time to Kill.
Yeah, classic.
Lost in Space. Practical
Ooh.
Magic.
Ooh.
Ooh.
A Beautiful Mind. I, Robot. The Da Vinci Code.
Hey, can we talk about A Beautiful Mind for a second? This is a Batman podcast, right?
Yeah, sure.
Do people think that's a good movie?
I didn't mind it.
I just watched it the other day.
Yeah.
It stinks.
Does it?
And Russell Crowe, I know he won a prize and everything, but
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's got that whole, is this real or is it in his head take on mental illness, yes. which I think probably has dated pretty badly.
Yeah, it has.
I never saw it for one very specific reason. Honest to God, it's this. I knew that Akiva had written a film.
There you go.
Yeah.
You had standards.
Look, I can't do it. And also the new Titans TV show, like the Teen Titans show, that has been, let's say, galvanizing the internet. That's also a little...
Oh, yeah, he's doing that.
I believe he wrote the first episode, if not quite a few episodes.
So he wrote that line in the promo, the
F Batman.
F Batman, which brings it back to Batman.
Oh, nice. Mm.
But it's not a nice line.
No.
Did you see this promo, this trailer?
I haven't seen it.
Is it Nightwing or is it Robin?
Well, it's Robin. So Robin, we don't know which version of Robin. Presumably Dick Grayson.
Is this live action? Or?
Yeah. Oh. It looks terrible.
It's a new series being launched for the DC Comics streaming service that they're launching later this year.
I can't keep track of all of these.
I'll send you a YouTube link. You'll love it.
Hopefully there's a podcast out there that can explain this stuff for me.
If only. But instead, we're stuck here with Batman Land, where we're discussing two episodes of the classic 1966 Batman TV show. We are going to look at The Great Escape, which aired initially on the 1st of February, 1968. Villain, Shame. God, love that guy. And we're going to talk about the follow-up episode, also featuring Shame and his sidekick, Calamity Jan. And that's The Great Train Robbery. And that aired on the 8th of February, 1968. How do they come up with these names? But Nick Bassine, I know I watched these episodes, you know, within minutes of starting this here podcast. I don't remember what they were about. Please do us the honor.
I'd be happy to. So Calamity Jan,
Shame, honey,
and Frontier Fanny.
You can't get closer than 2 feet till a marriage is arranged.
Break the very popular villain Shame.
Well, I appreciate it mighty much, Frontier Fanny and Calamity Jan.
Out of prison with a big red tank and unite him with the rest of their gang.
Well, that's a mighty fine looking gang you round up there, Calamity Jan.
A harmful Native American stereotype in red face.
Oh.
And a Mexican character in brown face.
Fernando Ricardo Enrique Dominguez.
They're going to rob a train, but first they rob the Gotham City Opera House. And they get into a fight with Batman, Robin, and Batgirl. Batgirl gets kidnapped and Frontier Fanny gets knocked unconscious accidentally, so the harmful Native American stereotype makes a deal to swap the two.
I come talkum peace treaty with you.
But in the exchange, a fight breaks out that results in a draw. Shame and his gang rob a train.
About 83 million, give or take 100.
Then Batman baits Shame with a skywriting drone.
Look! Open sky.
Batman and Shame face off in an abandoned part of town that looks a lot like a Western set where Batman beats him like a drum.
You're a sham, Shame.
And the Vietnam War rages on.
Now, here's the thing. First of all, and Ben Yuen, as channel manager for SBS, you're a bit of a big deal here. Maybe you can actually
huge
give us...
Huge deal.
Ooh. Yeah, I barely fit in this studio.
Well, pretty much. But as a authority within this building, can we actually say Frontier Fanny on SBS airwaves?
We'll bleep it later.
Okay.
I was going to ask, this is a cultural difference. Is that hard to listen to over and over again?
I don't mind the word, but what I can't stand is when it's combined with pack.
Yeah.
Those are called bum bags. I mean, they're terrible in any language.
But is it like hearing Frontier Vagina over and over again? Or no?
I don't know. There's a bit of an innocence to it because I feel like the only people who would call a vagina a fanny would be like year threes
in
the playground.
Okay.
Girls have a fanny.
We're a lot more mature than that.
It's always uncomfortable when you hear an adult person refer to a fanny.
Yeah.
Pack or otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard it happen in real life. I've been told that, yes, this is a euphemism.
But in the US, it like means bum, right?
Yeah.
So it still would have a bit of a, like in the back in the 60s, would it still have a bit of a double?
No, it was more like sit your fanny down.
Yeah.
And do your homework.
Yeah.
Legitimate question. When the phrase is being used in the US, are they usually referring it as like the actual sort of bottom? Is it like a cheeky word to use or is it really just like a, like as you said, put your fanny down?
Yeah, it's not that all that cheeky. It's just,
like utilitarian. Sort
it's
of
like a more polite.
It's butt. It's just like butt,
yeah.
U-T-T.
But maybe butt is ruder maybe.
Yeah, because butt's kind of funny.
Fanny's had the funny.
Fanny
taken
is not
out of
as
it.
Rude as butt, if there's a on a rudeness scale.
Mm.
Oh, I need to see this scale. This would be actually useful.
Maybe I'll bring it in my goodie bag next time.
So So, Nick Bassine, let's maybe get started breaking down this episode, because there's a lot going on. From the very beginning, we're in Gotham State Prison. It's a grim but foreboding edifice.
Yes.
And like politics, it has been the refuge of many a scoundrel.
Now,
this
the
is
thing.
A children's show.
I don't know about you
the
guys.
The cynicism already in the late 60s about politics.
I don't know about you guys, but when I engage in a little bit of casual horseshoe tossing, I don't need to be shirtless for it.
but you look better when you are.
Well, obviously.
When do you prefer to be shirtless? Instead of, if it's not horseshoe tossing.
Let's keep this off the microphone.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate for the dynamics, I guess. There's probably a bit of wind that gets caught up when you're flicking a horseshoe. I get that.
Safety equipment was not a big concern in the 60s.
Mm. But fondue, huge concern.
Mm. Mm.
Excellent fondue, Barbara. Mm.
And so we cut over after the breaking out of shame by Calamity Jan and Frontier. She's got a red tank.
Yeah. There's an odd
choice. Red.
Yeah.
You'd think if you're trying to break someone out of prison, you want to attract less attention rather than
Yeah, it's going to be more subtle.
Yeah.
Because everyone would just watch that tank go past. But if you color it red.
I think they'd just take whatever tank they could get.
Mm.
I did like that later on they make a joke about it. There's a joke about the tank and
the
how.
The tank rental place.
Yeah, returning it to the tank rental. That reminded me of, that's a classic Batman thing to do.
I did find these episodes funnier than I think I've seen for a while.
The writing was decent with the big exception, glaring exception of some of the stereotyping. But the fondue, it sort of, this scene which was, it was like Bruce Wayne had been asked out on a date by Barbara and like come over to my place for some fondue. Shown up all raring to go and then finding that her dad was there as their chaperone.
Yeah, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I felt that that could have been a scene straight out of Mad Men. That was beautiful. That was the Mad Men-Batman crossover I wanted to see.
It could. While I found it awkward and uncomfortable watching Bruce make that declaration that it would not be proper to remain in Barbara's apartment without a chaperone, I found it more awkward to watch Barbara refer to herself as a spinster. She's like 22, 23 years old
at
most.
That was weird. That Barbara character has a lot of stuff going on.
Mm.
Very complicated lady. Does Barbara at some point enter at the around the 8-minute mark and say, what's going on at this Klan rally?
this line I missed.
Yeah, I see something.
This
one as well.
I may have misheard it. Or maybe it was Dick. But I thought somebody said Klan, either Klan gathering maybe. What's up with this Klan gathering?
Well, she was.
She does. Yeah, when she goes into the office, into Commissioner.
She says
Klan,
right?
Yeah.
Knew it. Busted.
Hi, everybody. Well, this certainly looks like a gathering of a Klan.
Well, the actress Yvonne Craig had been in quite a few Elvis movies. Maybe she wasn't looking for a Klan, but as much as a Klan bake.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's a couple of interesting guest stars I thought was worth flagging in this one. You got Calamity Jan, played by Dinah Merrill, but apparently she's the real-life wife of Cliff Robertson, who played Shame.
So you've had
nepotism.
You've done the Shame. Shame's been on Batman Land before, so you've gone over how he's Ben Parker in Spider-Man.
You know what? I don't think we actually did discuss that. We might have. I'm sure the Batman Land archivists have probably, you know, rushed back to their files and, like, just checked, but I don't think we talked about that.
But you should listen back to that episode, if only for the Shame song that plays at the end.
Oh, man. That thing was brutal. Special thanks to Jeremy, who put that together. Jeremy, our podcast, audio engineer, mixer.
Cliff Robertson was also on Falcon Crest, which was a big nighttime soap.
Mm.
Did you get that over here? Did you watch Falcon Crest?
We got that here. Okay. I think Channel 7 played it late at night.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never heard of Falcon Crest?
No.
You call yourself a channel manager.
So apparently when Cliff Robertson was approached to reprise the role, he did say, look, I'll do it, but I want my wife to come in. And so
they did have very good chemistry.
Yeah.
I actually agree with that. Yeah.
Now, Frontier as portrayed by Hermione Baddeley, she makes our second Mary Poppins guest star.
And Mary Poppins.
Who was the first?
The first was the mother from Mary Poppins, and she was in it, what, like 3 weeks ago?
She's great. She was great on this show.
Oh.
Real highlight.
She was in the episode where they went to Merry Old England.
Yeah.
A couple of other guest stars. We've got Jerry Mathers, the Beaver from Leave It to Beaver.
What? Where was he?
He was the guy who played Pop, the door manager.
The stagehand.
I'm Pop, the stage doorman.
Pop? You ain't old enough to drink Pop, far less be called it.
Well, I'm 17, and it's a time-honored theatrical tradition that no matter how old or young the stage doorman is, his name has to be Pop.
Oh, that was the beef?
Yeah, and I don't know how many people in their late teens, early 20s get referred to as Pop, but here we are.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, that was the beaver.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Let me help you with that.
Wait, we got fannies and beavers in the one episode?
This Batman lens got it all.
You're forgetting Victor London.
Who was Victor London?
He was the
First of all, who is Victor London, but also who was Victor London?
He plays the harmful Native American stereotype, and he was also the first Klingon on Star Trek.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ooh.
Now, another name in here, you got Arnold Stang, you know, the great Arnold Stang.
Of the Boston Stangs.
Of the Boston Stangs. He had an uncredited cameo as the gun shop owner. Now, we probably know Arnold Stang less as the stand-up comedian that he was to earn himself a place on this, but we know him today as the voice of TC and Top Cat.
What the hell is that?
Top Cat, the animated show.
Yeah.
This is just turned into naming fake shows.
Top Cat is a real thing. You know Top Cat, surely.
No, what's Top Cat?
Hanna-Barbera cartoon from the mid-60s.
Oh, and he wears a... Does he wear a hat?
Yeah.
And he's a cat?
Yeah.
But what does he do? What's his...
He's a tip-top
cat. Does he have a catchphrase?
It's unfortunate being homeless.
Is that Heavens to Murgatroyd?
No, that was... That was Snugglepuss.
I did like the cut back to him asleep on the moose head where he'd been hoisted up.
A really weird thing I found about Arnold Stang when I was doing a bit of research on him. First of all, this isn't his only comics-related gear. He got his start in radio playing Jughead in the Archie Andrews radio show back in the day.
Nice.
But also, and this is like a weird sort of coincidence, and I'm not inferring anything into this, but I think it's just worthwhile putting these cards on the table. He made guest star appearances in both The Cosby Show, Ghost Dad, starring Bill Cosby, and The Cosby Mysteries.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying he clearly had a relationship with Bill Cosby.
Hmm. It's gotten dark.
Let's stay in this area for a little while longer.
Hey, who here liked when Batman was reading Shame's letter in Western speak?
He was having a really hard time with it.
It did not seem natural.
Yeah, that was good times.
I watched this with my 8-year-old, and he found some very curious things to be entertaining. First of all, Shame brags about shooting someone in the head 3 times, even though this is a children's show. Mm. And
it was an amusing line.
He doesn't miss an opportunity to refer to his mother-in-law as ugly, which my 8-year-old just thought was hilarious. And he says, "Why couldn't you have been born an orphan?" Mm. 8-year-old laughing, cracking up.
Another good line. That's my level of humor.
Now, Ben, you've got a couple of kids. Have they watched the 60s Batman show?
Yes, I've exposed it to them.
And have they enjoyed the show, or have they maybe got on with other endeavors?
They're intrigued by it. I think that it doesn't move as fast as YouTube. Or is it the other way around? I can't keep track these days.
Well, it depends how good your internet connection is.
I think they don't mind it. Yeah, it's like a live-action cartoon.
Yeah. Because, I don't know, like I watched it when I was a kid, and the Batman movie, the 89 Batman, was only just coming out. So I don't think there was that much Batman stuff really in the world for me to be too distracted by other, like, you know, incarnations of the character.
How old are your kids?
They are 8 and 11.
So aren't they, have they watched the all the movies and the new stuff?
They haven't seen the movies or the new stuff.
Is that because you're a responsible parent?
I've shown them other irresponsible stuff. But I mean, I'm not going to force them to watch the Akiva Goldsman scripted Batmans. That would be child abuse.
I have a question. There is a point where it looks like they're trying to shoot an exterior shot. There's the door of their hideout or something, but there's no wall. Am I getting that right?
I was very confused by this. For a while, I thought Chief Standing Pat is standing, looking out this glass door. But because there's no window, clearly no window,
right?
It kind of looks like the door is just in the middle of the shop somewhere.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. It's very confusing.
Until everyone runs over to the not there window and starts saying, "Ooh, look what's in the sky."
I couldn't tell if they were trying to make a joke or if this
they just forgot part of the set or something.
I think that would, yeah, I think it was meant to be the front and they didn't put that much effort in.
Why haven't you taken your kids to see, why haven't they watched the other movies if you're such a Batman fan?
I don't think they would appreciate them yet. So they've been seeing all the Marvel movies. That's kind of their level. But I don't think they're ready for dark and brooding quite yet.
I see. Sounds like a responsible parenting.
It does. I'm not implying anything that you have been an irresponsible parent, but I think I've blatantly said a number of times you've been an irresponsible parent.
I took him to watch Batman come very close to murdering Superman. My 2-year-old turns 3 next month. He's starting to get into the superhero stuff. He's wearing capes. He's got Batman's cowl that he runs around with.
Like son, like father.
Yeah. When can he watch? He's just watching the animated stuff right now. We just rented the from the library. Mm. The Superman animated series.
Mm-hmm.
When can he graduate to the movies?
I think it's all about the conversations you have with your child afterwards.
Do you talk to your kids?
I don't know how. That's why we watch movies together.
Are you British like my dad?
I definitely have.
This explains a lot about you, Dan.
Sadly, it does.
I, for better or worse, with these kinds of things, sometimes think, they're going to watch it anyway at some point.
Better that they watch it with you.
Why not? So,
you can show them the right places to laugh.
The older one, he won't watch certain parts of The Dark Knight because it's kind of scary and the Joker's kind of scary. And I won't let him watch him cut anybody's throat or anything.
Mm.
But, you know, all the punching, that's all right.
Punching's fine.
Batman doesn't use guns.
Well, while we're talking parenting and action films, Mission Impossible Fallout, should I take my children to it or not?
Yes, definitely.
No. What?
What? The kids need to see the most entertaining movie of 2018.
But there's lots of murders in it.
As long as he has a conversation with them, it's fine.
I showed my son the trailer and he was put off by the heroes having guns. He's used to only the bad guys have guns.
That's right.
So he was a little bit, this doesn't seem like a normal superhero movie.
One of the best lines in any action movie is in Enter the Dragon when Bruce Lee says, no guns.
Ooh.
When they're getting ready for their...
You're talking about previous Batman 1966 guest star, Bruce Lee.
Oh, that's right.
This is me bringing the conversation back to Batman.
When the guy in brown face that's doing the Mexican guy...
Fred.
When Fred says he wants to find out how they're splitting up the money, Shame says, he's Mexican, all right.
Oh, jeez.
That's been the running gag. Because I didn't mind. I felt like there was a little bit of, albeit 60s, attempt at subversion early on when Mexican guy keeps sort of, you know, he's obviously very well-educated and speaks with a British accent. But they kind of have to bring it back in the end. I thought also it was interesting. At one point, Commissioner Gordon says it's all gotten a bit batty, and then he realizes that he may have overstepped a line and offended
Batman.
Someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so they did understand that things could be offensive, but just only if you're Batman.
That's true.
Tanks in the street, a horse in my outer office. Has the whole world gone batty? Just an expression, Batman. No slight intended.
I understand.
There was some kind of line that you're not supposed to cross.
Mm.
But, that is interesting. Someone says at some point, get away from our Fanny. And I thought you guys would have appreciated that.
Be giggling like mad.
Yeah.
Now, I thought it was interesting the way they ended the episode with the abandoned part of Gotham City.
Yeah.
Why is there an abandoned part of Gotham City if, first of all, Bruce Wayne's such a great philanthropist, and then also you've got Batman trying to clean up Gotham City, why are they not making efforts to try to revitalize this decaying part of town?
And why does it look like a studio lot Western set?
And look exactly like the same street they drive up pretty much every time in the show.
But see, there was an important moment when he challenged Shame, and he decided to do it in this condemned part so that he didn't injure any other bystanders. Superman could have learnt from this in The Man of Steel.
He very well could have.
That's true. he could have done a better job about those innocent bystanders.
Mm. I think it's important to note that it is a throwaway line in that movie that they did move to an area of town of which had been heavily evacuated. They did talk about
that. No, but that's in Batman versus Superman.
No, at the end when he's fighting Zod, they refer to the evacuations that have been taking place.
Isn't that the whole reason Bruce wants to take down Superman? Because of all the bystanders?
I don't think it's Zod. I think it's the other guy that kills him. That they go to an abandoned place.
They make a reference to the large evacuations that have taken place, but because of the quality of the filmmaking, they don't really let that hang for a moment. Like, the audience don't really quite catch the idea that the town is largely evacuated. But anyway, I'm not here as a Man of Steel apologist.
You're serving that role for the moment.
Ben Ewan, in our closing moments of Batman Land for another week, I just wanted to pose the question to you. Did you learn anything from the Bright Knight himself?
I learnt what hornswaggled means.
what does it mean?
No, I didn't actually learn that. I learned that Gotham has air pollution issues.
Mm. Oh, did it?
Yeah, well, that's why Shame and Calamity Jane were trying to find greener pastures to head to after this one last job.
Because of the pollution.
Mm.
She's our insurance policy. As long as she's still breathing this Gotham City stuff that passes for air, nobody's going to stampede us.
So that's an interesting environmentalist message.
Yeah. Funny those little things that get slipped in there.
You wouldn't expect that.
And I also learned that Bruce Wayne, unlike Shame, has respect for the way that elders feel that courtships should take place.
Yeah, it's good information. You don't want to be caught in an apartment with a young woman and there's no chaperone.
Yeah, well, his shame was just all about, let's just dump this ugly f***y.
Yeah. All right.
Enough of that talk. Nick Bassine, what did you learn this week?
Now, I don't know the exact timeline, but I learned that this show clearly inspired the Scarecrow's weapon. Because they're using fear gas.
I was thinking that too.
Which is what Scarecrow uses.
Yeah, I wondered what the chronology was.
Do you know when Scarecrow was first invented?
I'm not too sure. I would guess he's probably a 1970s Batman character.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm.
Well, there you go.
I learned something connected to that, really. Just how you actually deal with stopping people from being afflicted by that scare gas. And really, it requires the bat antidote powder, but also mixed in one part bat antidote powder, two parts chicken soup.
Is that right?
That'll counteract the spray.
Chicken soup can cure a lot of things.
Oh, can it ever?
Mm, yeah, I'd love a bowl right now.
Anyway, we're going to head out of here and get us some chicken soup. This has been the end of another Batman Land. Nick Bassine, we talk about your Twitter handle all the time in this podcast, but if people haven't noticed, what is it?
I am at harmful.stereotypes.net_BuzzyTheBeaver.
Okay, that's a long handle.
It's a little long. And for, you can just go to at Nick Bassine if that's right.
It's good they've lifted the character limits.
Yeah.
Ben Ewan, channel manager for SBS.
Yes.
If people want to get a stream of SBS-related propaganda in their Twitter feed, where should they find you?
At SBS.
But if they want to find you personally?
At Ben_SYD.
You can find me at the Dan Barrett. This is the end of another Batman Land. If you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts. Leave reviews, helps people find the show. We'll be back next week, same Batman Land time, same Batman Land channel, for our penultimate episode. Stay tuned.
Yeehaw!
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.